You may be seated. We gather together today to honor the life of Gene Hansen and to celebrate the victory he experienced through Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You've been ministered to as you came here earlier and heard the music of Charlene that was playing on, that was recorded for her, and the hymns of faith. And now let's look to the Word of God for encouragement and comfort as we begin this service. From Psalm 62, we find these words: "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge." And as I met with the family, they mentioned that their father many times would quote from the Proverbs. And so there are a couple Proverbs I want to share with you here. The book begins in Proverbs 1:7 by saying, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." And from Proverbs 2, "My son, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to Him." Let's pray. Father, as we enter this service today, we come understanding that You are available to support us, to strengthen us, and give us a hope that reaches far beyond the grave. We thank You for Jesus conquering death and defeating that enemy in our lives. I thank You for the life that Gene lived before You. Today, let's reflect upon his life, let's honor his memory, and let's look to the God who saved him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Merle Gene E. Hansen, 90 years of age, of Concordia, passed away Tuesday, March 18, 2014, at the Cloud County Health Center in Concordia. He was born on June 21, 1923, near Jamestown, to Reuben and Mary Anderson Hansen. Gene attended Brown Country School District 44 under the teaching of Lorene Frazier and then graduated from Concordia High School in 1941. He served his country with the United States Navy during World War II. During his time in the Navy, Gene was aboard both the USS Franklin and the USS Ticonderoga, and both survived Japanese attacks. Specifically, while aboard the USS Franklin, the ship was attacked by a kamikaze plane where a lot of sailors were killed or injured. Gene was a lifelong farmer in Cloud County and Lyman, Colorado area. He married Charlene Rich on June 29, 1958 at the Wesleyan Church in Miltonvale. Gene was known best for his mechanical and carpentry skills, and although he could literally fix anything, he thoroughly enjoyed keeping all his boys' vehicles running at the same time, teaching them how to fix them. He was a member of the Wesleyan Church in Concordia and the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Gene enjoyed whistling along with his wife while she played the piano at several churches and community functions. He loved and encouraged his family and all their interest and will be missed very dearly by all of them. Gene is survived by his wife, Charlene, 7 children: Charles of Concordia, Mary Holloway and husband Larry of Osage City, David, John, Daniel, Lowell, Michael, all of Concordia. 6 grandchildren: Makita, Amanda, Brianna, Laura, Neil, Aaron. 3 great-grandchildren: Austin, Marissa, Cadence. 2 sisters: Helen Hansen, Alice Manthe, both of Concordia, and several nieces and nephews. He was preceded in death by his parents, 3 brothers, Leonard and Lawrence Ray. two sisters, Viola Johnson, Vivian Wood, and two infant siblings. You all hold very dear memories of Gene. One of his granddaughters is now going to come and share some personal reflections, and so I invite Brianna to come on up and share her thoughts.
My grandpa Hansen was a farmer with a soft voice and a kind heart. His children and grandchildren remember him believing in childhood fun and imagination. I hear grandpa started growing his beard for some centennial celebration, but I never remember him without it. Our friends just thought we had an inside line on Santa Claus. Grandpa was so sweet. He was the grandpa that let you put curlers in his beard, taught you to put mustard on your fried eggs, and turn stock tanks into swimming pools. He also would carry around grandma's purse because she'd lose it all the time. And if you'd tease him about it, he'd just say, "What? It matches my outfit." We were so fortunate to have him in our lives. He was a loving husband, a loving father, and the best grandfather anybody could ever ask for. Thank you.
The songs and a number of the scriptures that we're sharing today have been selected by the family as they think about their father and grandpa. I've been asked to share from the 23rd Psalm. To that, the family remembers Gene as hardworking, calm, steady, and measured in his words. He knew what needed to be said, when it needed to be said, and also if it needed to be said. He was honest. And as you've heard already, he was very kind. One of the other grandchildren mentioned that along with those mustard in the eggs, he would let the grandkids sit in their lap and dip their toast in his coffee. And by the time breakfast was over with, about half of his coffee was actually toast crumbs, but Grandpa just went along, and they've carried on that tradition with the grandchildren have with their children as well. He was full of little nuggets of wisdom, which included, as I've mentioned earlier, nuggets from the book of Proverbs, and additionally, he had little sayings that he picked up throughout his lifetime. One such saying that seemed to dominate our conversation in my time with his children was, "The older you get, the less you know." Remember when you thought you knew everything? Certainly more than your parents. And as we grow, somehow it's amazing, our parents get a lot wiser and a lot smarter, and we realize how naive we were when we were younger, and how there's a seasoning that comes as we go through life's experiences. But at the end of Gene's life, it wasn't what he knew, but it's who he knew that makes the difference of how we view this day and our own mortality. It is no mistake that the family wanted me to share this message from Psalm 23 and use some verses as well from Proverbs. The music selected were songs he whistled along with through the years and brought comfort to him, songs about heaven and grace and joy and Jesus. You have memories of your father who invested himself in you, taught you to honor and respect, fix your cars and showed you how to respect others, what faithfulness looks like in a marriage. But it is faith in Jesus that holds us to the pain of this loss you feel today. The 23rd Psalm has been called the Shepherd's Psalm because it portrays God as a good shepherd who cares for and looks after his own. The psalm was written by King David, and if anyone was qualified to describe God in this manner, David was. In his early years, he had spent years shepherding, and he'd learned many things. And as he contemplated about the shepherd's work, he found it a fitting description of what God had become in his life. First, he tells us, and he opens up telling us about God. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." And then he makes a transition as we get into verse 4, because he stops talking about God, and he starts talking to God. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There are three truths that speak of David's confidence in a God and our confidence that we could know today through faith. The first is the provision of God that is available. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." There's a personal aspect to this, and as a result of that, I shall not want. And then he tells us four things that he does. He says, "He makes me lay down in green pastures." In other words, he gives us rest for our souls. "He leads us beside the still waters. He refreshes us and nourishes us. He restores my soul. He gives great care and binds up our wounds. And he guides us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He leads us down the right path. Jesus himself, when he came as God in the flesh and walked this earth, he took on the role of a shepherd as well. And he called for anyone that would follow him. He says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd," notice this, "lays down his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." No doubt through the years, Gene shared with his family from the book of Proverbs, verses 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean on your own understanding." What does that verse say? It says we need a shepherd. We need someone that watches out for us. We need someone that is bigger than us. "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." There is a provision in your life that you can know from knowing God. You know, you remember your dad as being able to fix anything. And certainly he had a knack for looking at what needed to be done and doing that. But there was a problem that all of us had that we can't fix ourselves, and that is we will all die. And so Christ came, and he died for our sins on the cross so that he fixed what we could not fix ourselves. No amount of goodness can do it. And he provides, and he says, "For anyone that will come to me, I will provide for them. I will give you rest." He goes on to talk about the peace of God that is there. He says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. This is really the focal point of the psalm, that we can have a connection with the living God, the God of all the universe. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But what changes is life's experiences. Proverbs 1:32, the writer of Proverbs says, those who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by the fear of harm. Proverbs 3:1-2, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life for many years, and you will bring you peace and prosperity. God wants us to know peace, steadiness, a strength that comes from a calmness of spirit. Gene was calm, cool, and collected. A man of few words, but the words he spoke were enough. His wisdom was born out of difficult experiences. His wisdom was also born out of necessity. When we're weak and tired and don't know what to do, the Lord is there. I mentioned earlier that the psalmist changes in these verses from talking about God to speaking to God. Instead of the Lord being my shepherd and what he does for me and restoring my soul, he says, you are with me. Your rod and staff comfort me. You prepare a table for me. You anoint my head with oil. What changed? It was life's circumstances. The valley of the shadow of death can often cast a pretty long shadow over our life. And all of a sudden, instead of a time of teaching, instruction, and general care and guidance, life had gotten hard and difficult and threatening. Instead of God's provision being the main focus, the valley of the shadow of death is looming over the psalmist. What do you do when you encounter something that is bigger than you? Where do you go? Where do you turn? Let me ask you, what did you do on Tuesday? You called the church office. You said, Dad's not going to be here much longer. You reflected on your father's influence. You recalled the proverbs he shared and the songs he whistled and enjoyed. Like there's a church in the wildwood, and one day at a time. And those two-word sentences that he would often speak that spoke volumes. It is in the difficult times that God's presence is most needed and sensed. And you can know him as a shepherd. No matter what we face, we have the confidence that if we place our faith in Christ, God is with us. And here's what Jesus said. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let your heart not be troubled, nor let it be fearful. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trials and tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. God's ultimate goal in sending us his Son is that we might know peace. It's the main theme of the songs that Gene whistled along with Charlene as she played the piano. Proverbs 17:1 says, better a dry crust eaten in peace than a house filled with feasting and conflict. Could I have a little license to talk about, just to paraphrase that more? Better to have a lot of crumbs in your coffee with your grandchildren on your lap and being at peace than have a family that's arguing and fighting with each other. Your father taught you that. Your grandpa, that's his legacy. And then we have the promise of God. Because it's not enough that we can know God and that we can have peace just in this life, because this life isn't all there is. This life is going to come to an end for all of us. And he ends with a promise of God. He says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And notice this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God fills us with his presence now and forever. And God wants his presence to be a permanent presence in our life. Again, the proverb writer said, every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection. And God came to us through Jesus. Now we must come to him. The invitation of the scripture is, whosoever will. It's interesting that Jesus himself spoke of himself not only as a shepherd, but he spoke of us as sheep. And one day he told a story about a man who had 99 sheep. Actually, he had 100 sheep, but he only had 99 of them in his fold. And what did the good shepherd do? It went out and he searched for the lost sheep until he found it. And once he found it, he put that sheep on his shoulders and he carried it home and he nursed its wound and brought it back up. That's what God did to us. The scripture tells us we all, like sheep, have gone astray. And God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It is through Christ's death on the cross that our sins are forgiven. It is through his resurrection from the grave that we are given the assurance of eternal life. It's why these words from Psalm 23, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," have meaning to us today. It is through faith in what God has done in Jesus Christ that we receive these precious promises. God wants us to know the confidence that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But we must respond to his invitation by repenting of our sin and accepting Jesus Christ as our only Savior. You know, my first memory of Gene was probably close to 20 years ago. I was pastoring in Clay Center, and it was the first time I'd heard Charlene play the piano. We had Sunday night service at that time, and she came, and her and Gene put on a little concert for us. And Gene whistled along with her through many of the songs, and although Charlene mostly played, occasionally there would be some words that she would speak of the song that she was playing. And my memory was that she spoke the lyrics of a song that's called Supper Time. She would say the verse, and then Gene would join in the chorus whistling. And the last part of that song says this, and Charlene, I can hear you saying this even in my head right now, as you're playing lightly on the piano, "Come on home now, son, it's supper time. My, how I'd love to hear that once again. But you know the time was woven for me, the realization of a truth that's even more thrilling, that someday we'd all be gathered around a great supper table up there for the greatest supper time of them all with the Lord. I can almost hear the call now coming from the portals of heaven. Come home, son. It's supper time." Come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time. We're going home at last. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the memories that we hold dear. Thank you for a truth that goes beyond the grave. Thank you for a realization that goes beyond just Gene's life, but to anyone who would call upon the name of the Lord. Father, as we go through this day, as we talk with friends, as the family fellowships with each other, as they go through some of the difficult decisions that lie ahead in the days and the weeks ahead, may they fear no evil, because they know that they know that they know that the God of heaven, the God who created all that there is and all there ever will be, loved them enough to send their son Jesus so that he could have a personal relationship with them. And Father, we look forward to the day which we'll all be home with you in heaven. In Christ's name, we thank you. Amen.